Grace to you and peace from God our Father and our Lord and Savior Jesus, who is the Christ. Amen. Well, today is the day of Pentecost. Today we celebrate the coming of the Holy Spirit and the birth of the church. You heard Pastor Rudd read the two New Testament texts that are the stories of Pentecost. Both stories speak of how the Holy Spirit comes to us. Both the stories are as different as night and day. The first Pentecost story in Acts 2 is the story which most people are familiar with. It's a noisy, emotional experience filled with power and mystery. The rush of mighty wind, tongues of fire, ecstatic utterances. It is very public. The whole world hears and sees. The Holy Spirit fills the room and howls into people's hearts like a mighty wind. The Spirit comes with power like fire. But the other Pentecost story you heard from the Gospel of John is a quieter, softer story. Before Jesus' trial and crucifixion, he promised that after he is gone, the Advocate, or Holy Spirit, will be with them and remind them of all that he has said to them. Later in John's Gospel, when Jesus appears to his disciples in the locked room, we hear Jesus breathed on them and said, "Receive the Holy Spirit." Just as God breathed life into the creation at the beginning of time, Jesus' gift of the Spirit, the breath of God, creates new life in us and in the world. So who or what is this Holy Spirit? Well, one of the simplest theological definitions is the Holy Spirit is the active presence of God in creation. The Holy Spirit is the active presence of God in the world and in our lives, here and now. Each of today's scripture passages speaks of the Holy Spirit, making it possible for people to do things they could not do on their own. So, how does the Holy Spirit come to us and work in our lives? Well, the Spirit comes in all kinds of ways, sometimes dramatic and sometimes quiet and hidden. Sometimes the Spirit comes to us boldly and larger than life, sometimes quiet and gentle as breath. Sometimes the Holy Spirit comes just to sit with us in our pain and give us strength to endure. Sometimes the Holy Spirit acts suddenly to transform or heal. Sometimes the Holy Spirit comes forcefully to push us beyond our comfort zones. But the Spirit always gives us new life, even when our outward circumstances do not change. So as I was working on this message this week with questions and seeking relevance to our current circumstances, some of the verses from Romans 8 came to me. We know that the whole creation has been groaning in labor pains until now, and not only the creation, but we ourselves, who have the first fruits of the Spirit, groan inwardly while we wait for adoption, the redemption of our bodies. For in hope we were saved. Likewise, the Spirit helps us in our weakness. For we do not know how to pray as we ought, but that very Spirit intercedes with sighs too deep for words. So the Spirit, God's active presence in our lives, helps us in our weakness. So how does God help us in our weakness? Well, maybe the place to start is to ask, what's your weakness? We all have our weaknesses. Our weakness may be the struggle to believe in God at all. Our weakness may be the inability to hope for a better future, for our lives and for this world. Our weaknesses may be perfectionism, alcohol, or low self-esteem, anger, broken relationships, or unhealed hurts from the past. We all have our weaknesses. In Romans, Paul sets these words about our weakness in a larger cosmic context in which he talks about the groaning of the whole creation. He says, "We know that the whole creation has been groaning in labor pains until now, and we also groan inwardly." So what does he mean? One doesn't have to look far today to hear the whole creation groaning in labor pains. We hear the groaning of creation every time we see or read the news. We've heard groaning this week in the continuing coronavirus stories. Over 100,000 deaths from COVID, some of them here within our own Mount Olivet family. Our nation's deeply divided politics. In how Minneapolis has hit the national stage over the tragic death of George Floyd and the resulting riots and protests. And the list goes on. Everywhere we look at times, it seems like something else is unraveling. The problems often seem too big, and we are too small and too few to make a difference. Sometimes all we can do is groan and sigh. But Paul assures us it's precisely in our groaning and sighing that God is present to help us find our voice. The whole creation groans, and we groan inwardly. But this groaning Paul speaks of is a special kind of pain and groaning. It is the groaning of the pain and labor of childbirth. It's an image from Jewish apocalyptic thought in Paul's day. The idea was that the coming of the Messiah would mean the birthing of a new world out of the pain and suffering of this world. Paul says that the Messiah has come in Jesus of Nazareth. In Jesus, that new age, the new world, has already begun. But at the same time, we also live in this present age, in this old world where life is filled with pain and suffering. So Paul says we live at the overlap of the ages. A new age has begun in the life, death, and resurrection of Jesus Christ, but at the same time, we live in a broken world. The whole creation groans, and we, as God's people, share in that struggle. And so we wait for the adoption and redemption, the full and final experience of God's healing and wholeness. We wait for the birthing of a new heaven and a new earth, where there is no longer pain, suffering, and death. In hope, Paul says, we wait. So where is God in all of this? Far away in the heavens, waiting for the right moment? No, Paul says a remarkable thing, that the Spirit helps us in our weakness. For we do not know how to pray as we ought, but that very Spirit intercedes with sighs too deep for words. God comes to us in our weakness and groaning. God's Spirit is there to carry our burdens and give us words. Prayer does not depend on us alone. The Holy Spirit, who knows us better than we know ourselves, comes to us and prays within us, gives voice to our deepest longings when we don't have the words to name them. Pentecost is the gift of the Holy Spirit, God's active presence in our lives. And whether the Spirit comes to us like a mighty wind and powerful flame, or like sighs too deep for words, the promise is that when we're open to God's presence, the Spirit will indeed come and give us new life. But the story doesn't end here. We who love Jesus are called to live a life of love for others. And as a nation that is divided over so many issues, perhaps we begin by listening. Listening to folks we disagree with, instead of always needing to be right. Because listening is often the prelude to discovery and change and growth. And we all need to do God's healing work for others in a world groaning in pain and brokenness. Wherever and however we gather as the church, at our very best, we are people who know that we are loved. And because of that, we love others. I'm glad we're together, along with 128 new member friends, to continue to listen to one another and to know our true home. So as we celebrate the birth of the church, let us join our hearts with the ancient prayer of the church, "Come, Holy Spirit." Let us wait and pray, and let us be open to God's elusive, transforming presence. Come, Holy Spirit. Amen.